Welcome to Meet the Experts with Howie Carr. On this episode, Howie checks in with Norm Ramos from ReadyWise, an emergency preparedness company with a strong focus on food supplies. But ReadyWise offers so much more, including water filtration systems, independent power supplies, and other useful tools in the event of an emergency. You can visit ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. Or call ReadyWise to speak with one of their preparedness consultants at 800-393-2570. Here's your host of Meet the Experts, Howie Carr.
Welcome to our latest episode of Meet the Experts. I'm Howie Carr, and with us today is Norm Ramos. He is the marketing director for ReadyWise, which is the leader in emergency preparedness products in the entire nation. This is National Preparedness Month, September, and it's a good time to stock up on emergency products to get you through any kind of natural emergencies. I know a lot of people are less concerned about political upheaval since January 20th. However, there's nothing that Donald Trump or MAGA can do about natural disasters like hurricanes or tornadoes or blizzards. And it behooves you to be prepared. Norm Ramos, thanks for being with us here today on Meet the Experts. And let me just ask you, what are the most common misconceptions that people have about emergency preparedness?
You know, one of the worst things that people could do is just to sit back and think that they could call 911 or rely on someone else to provide safety, security, food, you know, those types of things that are needed in an emergency. Certainly our first responders are wonderful people that sacrifice their time with their family, their lives. You know, certainly they're wonderful people that are heroes. Having said that, in something like a wildfire or a hurricane, simply there's too much for them to do. They're overwhelmed by trying to save so many people at one time. And people that rely on them, they get really stuck and, you know, waiting. And 911 could be busy for a long period of time. And so it's important that people prepare to help themselves, their families, and their loved ones.
Right. There's an old saying, you know, about the police, when seconds count, police are minutes away. I think the same thing applies for natural emergencies. Before we go any further, tell us about ReadyWise. It's an American-based company, and it's all American products. Is that correct, Norm?
That's correct. And we started, and people know ReadyWise for emergency food, but really we're a freeze-dried food and dehydrated food company. We have certainly a lot of emergency food products, but we also have things for outdoor camping and everyday food. And the thing that makes ReadyWise different is that because we've been in business and have so many customers, we're always getting feedback of new products and things we could do to be a better company. We have our own R&D facility that we are able to make products that we could do on the bench and then move them to our plant. We control all the processes from procurement all the way through the bucket and delivery. We have our own fulfillment facility, really ReadyWise being experts in emergency preparedness. And over time, we keep on innovating and bringing things to the market, like gluten-free was one of the items that our customers said, that we need gluten-free products, things that would appeal to children. We're always listening to the market and coming up with new, great ideas.
What is the single most important step a family can take to prepare for an emergency?
I think overarching is to have a plan that's tailored to the family's needs. We educate people on an actual 10-step emergency plan, but the key part is to start planning. That's the first step.
And I guess you can go to ReadyWise.com and you have a page on the plans that people could check out.
Yes, we do. And in fact, for hurricane season, we actually have a hurricane checklist. We look at ourselves as being the leaders in educating people, outreach, you know, getting people prepared, helping people along the way on how to take that first step to preparedness, and also how to build increasingly a plan that is tailored to, you know, their needs, their family needs, employee needs.
What should be included in a basic 72-hour emergency kit?
Yeah, so the things to really be prepared for is that you need to have a good supply of food. And with that, you have to count on that you may or may not have the ability to heat it. So you want to have the energy to sustain yourself in an emergency. Another very important part is to have water. You know, water is actually the most critical survival item. And the recommendation is to store at least 1 gallon of water per person per day for drinking and sanitation. A 3-day supply is a good start, but a 2-week supply is even better. And then the other element that really is important to have is a first aid kit. Because, you know, if something were to happen in an emergency, say like an earthquake, et cetera, someone's injured, then being able to take care of that person before, like we mentioned, the first responders are able to show up is critical. So first aid, water, and food are the 3 important elements of a 72-hour kit.
So what are the essential non-food items for an emergency kit?
Yeah, so certainly the next step is that you're in place. You have your food, you have your water, you have your first aid, but often we're separated from our loved ones. So another element is a communication plan and the ability to reach. The last thing you want to do is to be separated from your loved ones in an emergency, the anxiety of not being able to communicate with them, to reach them. Many parents have kids at colleges, they're somewhere else, and so the ability to be able to communicate is a critical element. And one of the observations we get nowadays that we have gotten from our customers is that more and more we're relying on our cell phones and smartphones to have information like our kids' phone numbers, our loved ones' phone numbers, the ability to get to our family that's out of state. And part of a communication plan thinks about those redundancies. What would happen if you actually lost your phone? How would you be able to reach your loved ones? Do they have a specific out-of-state contact that everyone has a plan and saying, in the event you can't reach me, I want you to reach this person. And having a loved one out of state often is a way for the family to be able to outreach and coordinate communication, even though the local telecom and infrastructure may be at risk and damaged.
Hey, one thing I've always wondered about is, what is the difference between freeze-dried and dehydrated food? And what's the difference for long-term storage? What's better?
The freeze-dried process actually often takes out more of the moisture, and moisture often leads to spoilage. All right, so the freeze-dried process uses a process versus heat. It uses the freeze-dried process, which actually will take the moisture out of the product, reducing the ability for spoilage. Dehydrated products, things when people think of dehydrated, they think of, like, say, a raisin. They tend to still have more moisture. They tend to be more chewy. And those items still have a residual moisture. And often when you buy dehydrated fruits and certain items, you'll have things in there that will be preservatives to prevent the spoilage. So the freeze-drying process is a more expensive process. It usually has less yield, but often keeps a lot of the nutritional value. You know, when you cook things in a hot environment, you lose some of the vitamins and nutrients, where that freeze drying really preserves. You know, we have freeze dried blueberries, and people just love to put them in smoothies and everyday eating because it's just close to a real fresh blueberry that you can get.
And you have a choice at ReadyWise.com. Some are freeze-dried, some of the products, other products are dehydrated. So you can make your own choice. And again, if you want to learn more about emergency preparedness, you can go to ReadyWise.com, ReadyWise.com. So what is the number if people want to call and deal direct with a consultant from ReadyWise? What is the phone number?
800-393-2570. And that team of sales consultants actually are preparedness experts. If someone has a unique situation, maybe they have an elderly person or a person that has a gluten intolerance,
right,
then by reaching out to our 800-393-2570, you could reach our internal person that will walk you through step by step, you know, your particular needs and then how you could build, you know, resilient plan and get the right products. So certainly we encourage people to come to our website, but if it's overwhelming or someone's just starting out, reaching out to us, you know, by telephone is another great way. And, you know, we're here to help. We really take pride in the fact that we have long-term relationships. We're getting now where the kids, the parents started buying from us, and now we're getting the kids buying from us. And, you know, it's a great feeling when you feel like you're really helping people to be prepared for these emergencies.
And it is National Prepared this month, so you have some good deals for people for the month of September, correct, Norm?
That is correct. Yeah, and also we have a discount. So someone could shop, and using the HOWIE10 code, they can get additional savings. So certainly we have great value for your listeners, and we really appreciate what you do to get the message out. And by visiting ReadyWise.com, they could shop for certain deals, but they see another item that they want, they could still save with that HOWIE10 discount.
How can I ensure that my stored food will remain safe and edible for this 25-year period that you guys always talk about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what is recommended, and our buckets are designed to keep light out. So light's the enemy of shelf life, right? Being in the sun and in a bright environment. Trying to store them in a place of minimizing temperature fluctuations. So, you know, certainly better to keep it in a basement or in a room that does not get the fluctuation of direct sunlight. Very high temperatures, again, is something that could reduce shelf life. But our products, we use the Mylar packaging, and then all the product is sealed and it's in a bucket. So our products are designed to withstand some fluctuations, but certainly keeping it out of sunlight and in an environment that controls that temperature fluctuation is a good thing. The other part is we have many pouches in the bucket, so if someone opens one, it's not like everything in the bucket is going to go bad. So the idea is that someone could use part of their emergency supply, and all the other packages are sealed, and by keeping them in the bucket, we have a resealable lid. So their food supply will be just fine.
One thing we always have to worry about is power outages. And how can you prepare for a loss of power that might last for several days or even, God forbid, a week or so?
We do have solutions. So one, you know, we have a solar generator. So someone who really wants to have some power, the solar generator is certainly a handy item. A lot of our products are designed to allow someone to thrive irrespective of having electricity. So a lot of our products you could eat, we have snacks that you could eat right out of the bag. A lot of the other products are easy to rehydrate just with, you know, room temperature water. Others, you know, my preference is on some of them you would cook it, but certainly they're also designed that if you had to in an emergency that it would make do. But relative to the power outage, you know, certainly looking at a generator, having the ability to have an ample supply of rechargeable batteries or power stations is the first line of defense. The power generator gives you that longevity of providing electricity, you know, especially like a solar generator, for as long as you need it. And so with that, a comprehensive plan that gets you through that first, as you mentioned, Howie, 72 hours, and then what are you going to do beyond that? Last thing we want to do is to hear storms coming in and everyone's running out, looking for batteries at that point, looking for a generator, only to find that the stores are sold out. So now's the time to get ahead of it. You know, it's good to be prepared before the emergency hits.
You mentioned cell phones earlier and how people, you know, rely on their cell phones more and more. But what other tools should you have to communicate in an emergency other than the ubiquitous cell phones that we all have?
Yeah, so certainly the other one is to make sure that you have a plan that if you could get access to something like email, having that a redundant plan of communication, which would mean, do I have all my relatives' phone numbers? Do I have their emails? Do I have all the information? And a lot of people will make a small little card that they keep in their wallet so that should where you have all that stuff stored be inaccessible, you have another way that as soon as you can get to that communication is good. The other way, though, so a lot of people with a family community, I know our community is very big on this, is the use of walkie-talkies. You know, the ability to be able to communicate to people, hey, I'm hurt in an earthquake, please come get me. You know, having that walkie-talkie where you could actually, you may not be able to move, but if you have access to your walkie-talkie during that emergency, you know, you know that the earthquake started, you have your supplies, you have your emergency. If you could communicate to a neighbor, that neighbor may be there faster than a first responder to save your life. So the walkie-talkie is actually a very practical tool to be able to work within your community to support each other.
If you have young kids, you don't want to scare them. But on the other hand, you want them to be prepared, as the Boy Scouts say. So how do you involve them in the preparedness process without frightening them out of their wits?
Yeah, and some of it could be using an emergency, just like, you know, it's I need to be able to pick you up from school, so we should have a plan in case I lose my cell phone. So you could do it in a way that doesn't have to be overly menacing, but it's good to share with the children that these things do occur. Storms happen. They're aware of that. Certainly the wildfires, you know, out here in Utah, we definitely are experiencing some wildfires. Mm-hmm. So to be able to explain to your children that in a nice way, that by planning, this is how we keep each other safe. This is how we are able to respond to these things that we can't control. And I think to your point, Howie, that you know, the Boy Scouts and any kind of activity where you actually have practical skills is a good way to do that. Teaching your kids, you know, how do we purify water, or, you know, how do we cook food without electricity? You know, those types of practical steps not only could be educational, but it could be fun, you know, to actually, you know, show your children some of these good skills and essential ways to accommodate, you know, what we want in an emergency.
We're with Norm Ramos here on Meet the Experts. He's the marketing director for ReadyWise. It's the leader in emergency preparedness products. And if you would like to learn more about ReadyWise and the products and the September being National Preparedness Month and the special deals they've got, go to ReadyWise.com, ReadyWise.com, and use code Howie10 at checkout, Howie10 at checkout, and you can get a discount on your purchases. Many people have specific medical needs, especially as the population gets older. How does someone that needs to get medical treatment or prescriptions, how do they prepare for a crisis, Norm Ramos?
And that's certainly a good one. So part of a plan is to make sure that elements like that, like if you have a prescription, to be able to have a 30-day supply in addition to your base supply is important. Certainly for some that may be more prone to infection or a weakened immune system, having some antibiotics, having the proper sanitation, you know, having things like gloves, you know, that could help you in an emergency that you have to prepare food, maybe outside of your home, those types of things, having those considerations as to the particular needs. It might be a mobility need. It might be an illness. It might be someone who actually faints, you know, under stress. So the ability to tailor that to the individual's needs is part of that comprehensive plan. We have our backpacks that are ready to go, and included in that is a first aid kit, which will have some of those antiseptic materials. It'll have the Band-Aids and your basics. And then if someone has an individual need, then certainly they could complement, you know, what we have in our product line is mm-hmm. something that they might need as an individual.
A lot of people live in apartments or condominiums. They may live on an upper floor. What are the specific emergency needs for apartment dwellers?
The one thing we see in apartments, like, so if you're in an area, a dense urban population, or say in an apartment complex, often those are the types of places where a grocery store could be wiped out in an emergency because they don't have the space. The city might be so dense that the grocery stores, they don't have a lot of nearby storage. And what you'll see in things like a snowstorm or emergency is that water and certain of these food elements will be the first things to go. Now, if you don't have a lot of space, we have solutions, everything from a 55-gallon drum to, you know, water supply purification tablets, et cetera. So to the ability to you to have something like our Seychelles water bottle, which allows you to take water and filter it, is a way to have access to good purified water without having to store, you know, hundreds of gallons of water. You have the ability with the filter to filter your water as you need it. And using that as part of your planning, if you're in an apartment, how do you have your plan, but in a very space-efficient way? And our products, like you had mentioned, Howie, the dehydrated products, they take up a lot less space. So if you have something like a dehydrated meat bucket, it certainly takes up a lot less space than someone having a freezer full of steaks.
What are the unique challenges of preparing for a man-made disaster like the fact that the grid could be down, or a chemical spill like they had in East Palestine, Ohio, a few years back.
Yeah, and that's the part. When you talk about man-made issues, like we've had stories about hacking the grid, right? Certainly we know that that's a vulnerability, going after the grid. But what people think of, they think of, oh, the grid goes down, electricity's out. They don't think about what happens to the water plants, right? What happens if someone actually hacked into a municipality and changed the chemical components of our water supply? So having the ability to be resilient and say, what would I do if the access to potable water goes away? What would I do if, say, I'm on some sort of medical device and I need my own resilient backup supply, like a solar or something like that? So to understand and be self-sufficient relative to, you know, stories about EMPs, you know, a very practical approach to protecting our device from some sort of attack that's like an EMP that could destroy a lot of electronics is to use your microwave in your house. You know, you just unplug your microwave, put your phone in there. It provides some protection. But having redundancy, having multiple plans on how to address some of these issues is actually the best step.
What financial preparation should be made? I mean, in other words, cash. How much cash should you have on hand?
You know, certainly to be able to trade cash. Some people use where $500 is a good amount to just get you by, cash on hand. Having some silver, the value of having some silver coins, and silver coins could actually have two purposes. They were used in a time for its antibiotic or antibacterial properties, but also it's just a great thing to trade. People know the value of silver has retained very well. And so to have small denominations, the last thing you want to do is you need a Band-Aid and all you have are $100 bills, right? And
yeah,
you just paid $100 for a Band-Aid.
What are the most common mistakes that people make when building their emergency supplies?
Part of it when they build a supply is, one, where will I need my supply? So many people, they build a supply to protect their family, but then they haven't prepared for the fact that they may have to take that supply elsewhere. So having some backpacks and things like that, you know, you could have a plan that's in place. But imagine if, you know, your house is on fire, you could have a year's worth of food. You know, running out the door with all those buckets may not be a simple task, right? So having where you could shelter in place, but also shelter in a remote location, or if you have to be in transit. And then thinking about when we have kids away from school or we have kids go to camping trips, et cetera, how are they prepared? So when they're not near us, when our loved ones are not near us, how do we protect them despite, you know, not being within arm's distance? So I think that's a big part, is that some people think of, oh, I have my supply and it's just in their house. But what happens if you have to leave your house? Then what?
We talk on the air, say that the Mylar bags and the grab-and-go bags, they have a 25-year shelf life, but some of the other items, they don't have a 25-year shelf life. So how often should a person who buys from ReadyWise check and rotate the items in their emergency kit?
The basic buckets are up to 25 years, but we have other products. Some of them, like our soups, they're great for short-term needs, and some of our soups have a 15-year shelf life. But those, we recommend some of the shorter shelf life ones to have them in your pantry. They're kind of like cans of tuna or Spam or, you know, having pasta and those types of things that are great when electricity goes down. But what you'll have is they'll last. And you had referenced having a freezer full of things. You know, frozen entrees are great. Power goes down and you have 48 hours to eat it. Then that becomes its own problem. So having a well-stocked pantry of shelf-stable items that you actually use and integrate. And so you may have a 1 year supply, but then tap into that 1 year supply and then extend your supply by replacing it with items that have longer shelf life. And we have a number of soups that are, say, on the low end, 2 years. We have other soups that are designed to last 15 years. So dating your items, we put the made by date, the kitting date on our items. So that's readily available for people to understand, up to 25 years. And then our retail items and things like that you may find in grocery stores, they're labeled with a best-by date, which is often
right,
the freshness, when you're going to get the freshest product. but in an emergency, you could use it beyond that date.
What's the difference between a bug-out bag and a shelter-in-place kit?
Yeah, the shelter-in-place kit is really designed around having a large supply. You know, you're planning whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year, and it really thinks about having things like you're going to have access to cooking. Things are going to come back, perhaps, you know, be resilient to some degree, but you're cut off, like the people in North Carolina with the flooding. After the flooding resumed, a lot of people were just cut off from going to the grocery store, et cetera, but they needed the ability to stay in place, have water and those types of things, and shelter in place. The bug out bag is really meant to have it in a very handy backpack where you could just grab your backpacks, throw them in the car, and you're gone. And what happens in an emergency sometimes, people are trying to find maybe a hotel in a nearby town, et cetera. But often, if the disaster is big enough, those places fill up instantly.
Right.
Right. So having that supply, that even if you're able to get a room, you know, you might wind up landing at a motel at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you have your food? Do you have your water? Do you have your own first aid kit? What happens if your car breaks down along the way? Having the ability. So it includes things like a blanket so that you have a way to provide some warmth. It'll have a smaller kit than you might have at home. You know, your expanded first aid kit at home may be larger and have more components than what you would have in a backpack. But the backpack has the essentials to be able to protect you while you're in transit to a place that is more safe.
How do I choose a safe location to shelter in place? And what should I do there once I arrive?
Yeah, that's a good thing in that the type of disaster often will dictate what is a good target place. So if it's a wildfire, understanding how the wildfires in your area are likely to flow. For example, a lot of fires tend to climb up a mountain. They actually accelerate if they go up a mountain. You want to make sure that you're not going into a place like a road that might be blocked in a canyon, right? You know, so Knowing your route, having a redundant route. What happens if the highway is just locked down? Often you'll be able to Google and find out local flood maps. That's a good thing to understand. If it really is an emergency, even just getting to a place like a hotel where you're on the sixth floor is going to be safer than if you're downstream. Understanding how far you are away. You know, often it's a lot of people love to live right by the water, right, the stream.
Right.
Nothing's more peaceful than the sound of a brook right outside your back door. But with the wrong flood and the wrong rain, that could become a menace. So understanding, you know, how do I get to a higher elevation? And definitely the stories in Hawaii, you know, they felt that. You know, if you're hitting a tsunami, know your route up the mountain. Know your route to higher ground. Understand where you're going to be somewhat sheltered from the elements. Understand where you live. Having it mapped out, having a redundant plan mapped out, right? If the road's blocked, how do you get to your second best place? And is a very, very important step.
We're talking to Norm Ramos. He's the marketing director for ReadyWise.com. It's the nation's leading emergency preparedness company. Norm, before we leave, I just want to have you explain to people what they can find at ReadyWise.com, because people need resources to help them prepare, and they need to study up on what they need. What can they get at ReadyWise.com?
So ReadyWise, we'll have useful information on the website. Like I said, this month in the footer, we have our hurricane checklist. We put the navigation to have things like an emergency food supply all in one area so people could see a collection of the products.
Give us that number one more time if people want to call and speak with someone directly and getting some advice on what to purchase.
Yes, it's 800-393-2570. That's 800-393-2570.
Norm Ramos, thank you so much for being with us here on Meet the Experts. And there is a code available if people want to purchase something that where they can get a discount, is there not?
Yes, it is, Howie 10. And that allows them to shop for any item on the website, even if it's on sale. They're going to save an additional 10% off. So it's Howie 10 on ReadyWise.com.
Howie 10 to get an additional 10% discount on any item, including those on sale at ReadyWise.com. You have a great company, Norm Ramos, and we love doing business with you. And it's a great, great product, and everybody should be ready for any kind of natural emergencies that come up. Thank you, Norm Ramos, for being our guest today on Meet the Experts.
Thanks for joining us on Meet the Experts with Howie Carr. We'll be back soon with even more interesting guests you're sure to learn a great deal from.